is the fact that the greatest talent in the country is not on rock radio or on the American Idol stage. God has his most talented people in church. Thank you. I have good news for everybody today. This is a word that's in season for every single one of us. It's good news. If I were to tell you today that your boss man is planning to promote you, that would be pretty good. But the news I have is even better than that, because the truth is God is working on your promotion right now. And I want to talk today about preparing for promotion. This is a word for each of us. The Bible tells us clearly where promotion comes from. In Psalm 75 and verse 6, it says, "For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." One translation says, "Promotion comes from God." God is a promoter. Now, of course, as believers, the ultimate promotion one day for each of us is being promoted to heaven. And now that's a done deal. That's a settled issue. But the good news is, during this lifetime, God has planned promotions for his people. And the Bible is filled with one verse after another that confirms this, such as in the New Covenant, where the will of God is made clear. We go from one level of glory to another level of glory. And promotion, by definition, is the act of moving someone to a higher level. I'm telling you, we should be preparing for promotion because God is working on lifting us up to a higher level than where we are right now. Preparing for promotion. Now, in the last year or so, we have followed our ancestors, the children of Israel. You remember, for 400 years, they were slaves in Egypt, Egypt being a type of the world, darkness, God not clearly seen or heard much of the time. But then they were in that 40-year period between escaping from Egypt and going into the promised land, 40 years of wilderness wandering. And we followed our ancestors week after week. Saw what life was like for them in the wilderness. We learned it wasn't that bad. God said, "You've really not lacked a single thing these 40 years. I've defeated your enemies for you. I've fed you every day, better than drive-through." I mean, it was just there for them to eat every day. When they were thirsty, he would give them water, even if he had to get it from a rock. They were not thirsty. They were not hungry. And they were well taken care of, even in the wilderness. And we learned that the wilderness wasn't all that bad. God said, "You have lacked nothing." But then they lifted up their eyes and they were within view of the promised land. Now that represented to them the best God could offer them. God was keeping his word to them. They knew he had a place prepared for them that would be better. It would be a promotion for them. And it would be easy to look at that Old Testament record of the children of Israel wandering and then stepping into the promised land and think that the promised land represents heaven. That right now we're in a wilderness and we know about the promised land. We know it's a real place. But we will get there only when we leave this life on earth and are promoted to heaven. And I'm sure that's one great interpretation. The promised land is heaven. But God has promotion in mind before we get to heaven. David was clear on this point in Psalm 27:13. He said, "I would have lost heart I would have given up. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So God has a plan to be good to us while we're alive on earth. Not just good to us when we die and go to heaven. In the land of the living, God has planned a promotion for you. And we're talking about preparing for promotion. Now, some of you may be discouraged because you would have thought by now. Things would have been better. You would have already been promoted. You've seen others bypass you. You were first in line, but somehow they cut and got ahead of you. They have stepped into promotion and you're still waiting. Some of you may be discouraged by thinking, I'm nowhere near where I ought to be in life right now. But your season of promotion begins with divine acceleration, and God will make up for lost time. I've seen it. There were times in my life when I thought it was my turn. God, it's my turn. And I saw somebody else get promoted and left me right there. One was, I don't guess I should call names because they're still alive and might hear the podcast or something. But I was attending a breakfast full gospel businessman's breakfast in California many years ago. And it was at a season in my life. I know God was speaking new things for me. I was preparing for promotion. I knew he had more for me. And I was thinking, it's about time. So I go to this Saturday morning Christian men's breakfast. There's about 100 businessmen there. And I'm thinking, probably today's the day I'm going to get discovered. So I sit there, I'm eating breakfast, and a friend of mine who was also there, somehow, the man who was hosting that meeting that morning picked him out, didn't even know him, and said, I believe the Lord wants to have you share a word for us this morning. Come on up and tell us about your ministry and what God. And I sat there thinking, that should have been me. So I had to wait a while longer. And all of us are still waiting for the next promotion. God is a master promoter. He has a higher level of life, a higher level of glory that he's working on for each of us right now. Nobody's excluded from this word. Sometimes a message comes forth and it's not an in-season word for everybody, just for some. But today, everybody should be preparing for God's promotion on your life. And it will begin with divine acceleration. All of a sudden, what looks like you've been stalling and you've been hindered, warp speed will kick in and God will redeem any time you thought was lost. He will make up for lost time. And there have been times when God has promoted me and it wasn't my turn. And I knew it. God, you think I'm ready for this? He's more ready than I am. She's more ready than I am. But sometimes God has promoted me when it was not my turn. But God said, it's my time. It may not be your turn. But when God is ready to accelerate and promote you, he will say, it is your time. And this happens in our life. Now, there are some prerequisites as we prepare for the promotion of the Lord. Now, God is God and he can do anything he wants to. He can do what he pleases. But I do believe there are certain things we can do in terms of lifestyle and behavior that can accommodate the promotion of the Lord. Anybody interested in that? The promotion of the Lord and how we can work with God to make it happen easier. We can help God out a little bit. And the first rule as we prepare for promotion is make God's word your ultimate authority. Now, we should know that, but do we really live that? Do we get up every day and honor that principle? It's a real guideline as we prepare for the promotion of the Lord over our life. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says it clearly, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it. That means to ponder it by yourself out loud. Talk to yourself about what the book says. Meditate on it day and night. Now, the day and night phrase is a rhythm and a lifestyle. It's continual. It never ends. You never take a day off. You never take a night off. The rhythm of day and night is just as consistent as the rhythm of inhaling and exhaling. We don't want to stop doing either one of those, do we? Then day in and day out, we meditate on the Word of God. It is the book of instruction. And we be sure to obey everything in it. And then, the Bible says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So the Word of God must come first. It is our ultimate authority. Again, a lot of scripture today. David said in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, the first three verses actually, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, if you're going to have a mentor, if you're going to have some iron, sharpening your iron in life, make sure you're fellowshipping and connected and networked with people who also honor the Word of God. And they get their counsel from the Word of God too. Blessed is the man who does not receive counsel from the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or the critical. Don't you hate being around people and all they do is criticize. Hey, that's not preparing for promotion. Somebody who's always beating you down, leaving you feel worse off than you were when you were in there, before you got into their presence, you don't have to have them in your life. Well. But blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. How delighted are we to meditate in this day and night continually? Delight in the Word of God. And in the Word, meditate day and night. Here it is again, the rhythm, the consistent, unbroken rhythm of meditating on God's Word day in and day out. And here's what you'll be like. Promoted. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Promotion is waiting for the man and the woman who lives in God's Word. It's a lifestyle, day and night, meditating on it, delighting in God's Word. People who don't agree with that are off limits in your circle of close friends. The only connection you should have to them is a light and a witness to try to help bring them on in if they're willing. And it says this, the tree that's planted by the river is going to prosper. That man, that woman will prosper in whatever he does. Promotion is coming to a man who is like that tree planted by the river. But now I need to caution you on this one point because this trips a lot of people up. It said that kind of man, that kind of woman will bring forth fruit in its season. A wise man once told me, not everybody's in the same season at the same time. And then he said this, not every church is in the same season. We've been through seasons in our church. We've been through seasons of infancy and then growth. We've been through seasons of plateauing. And now we're in a season of growing again. So come and grow with us. But we're fruitful in our season. We should be fruitful in every season, but only as we understand the promotion of the Lord and what he's doing in that season in our life. Here's what is interesting to me. In the natural, the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, and here's the truth. The seasons know exactly when to change. Sometimes they don't change when I want them to or when you want them to. I'll remind you of this when it's 112 degrees on August the 13th in just a few weeks. And we'll be saying, isn't it time for the seasons to change? No, the seasons know exactly when to change. Daniel 2:24 says, God changes the times and the seasons. And so we need to have an understanding of the season we're in to know how to better prepare for the promotion of the Lord during that season. So we make God's word our ultimate authority. Secondly, a guideline to help us prepare for promotion is to remain faithful in your present season. Now, I know what it's like to be in a season and not much happening and not much interesting, and it seems a little dull and boring, and you know, you've been there. But the truth is, if we're really going to prepare for the promotion of the Lord that will bring on a new season at a higher level, a lot will be determined by how faithful we are in our present season. Let's not minimize the importance of where we are right now. Jesus told a parable, several in fact, but one of them brings out the point clearly. He said to others, you have been faithful in a small thing, in little, and now I'm going to promote you and make you ruler over greater things. In one parable, he translated faithfulness in small things to the qualification of being ruler over cities. To one, he said, you've been faithful in a little bit. Now I'm going to reward you and promote you by making you a ruler over five cities. And then to another, he said, you've been faithful over a little. I've been watching you in the little things. The details are important. You'll never reach excellence. You will always be in mediocrity or worse, unless you respect details and take care of faithful, natural responsibilities. God said, I've watched you. Small thing. Everybody said, that's a small thing. But you've been so faithful in that. God said, I'm going to now make you ruler over 10 cities. That's like a governor. 10 cities. So remain faithful where you are right now. The Bible says, do not despise the day of small things, Mr. Harry. He told me this the other day, because a 100-year-old mighty oak tree begins with a small acorn. But give it time, let it go through seasons, it will grow up and become greater. So don't despise the small things that you're overseeing right now in this season of your life. How well you handle them, how faithful you are in handling your responsibilities at this lower level will determine how and when and how much God promotes you in the next season of your life. God told David, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. Now it's on this point here, remaining faithful in your present season, that we have to learn to wait on God, because everybody wants tomorrow right now. But God changes the times and the seasons, and we should be faithful in the present season where God has us. Then a third guideline is be productive where you are. Don't twiddle thumbs. Don't rock in the rocking chair until that's your season. Then enjoy it. But be productive where you are right now. 1 Kings 11:28 tells us this. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, that word's in the New King James Version. Solomon saw that he was industrious And he made him officer over all the labor force in his house. Industrious, diligent, hardworking, energetic, conscientious. I mean, being productive where you are right now. Now, you may not be able to do everything you have in your heart to do right now. You may have limitations. You have boundaries that have not yet been changed by the Lord in order for you to do what you ultimately want to do or should be doing in your life. But you're not excused from being productive right now in some way in the season where you are. And the Bible says this about Daniel. Daniel distinguished himself above the governors because an excellent spirit was in him. Now, if we're going to be productive in the season where we are, oh yeah, I know God's got greater things. God's got bigger things for each of us. But if we're going to be productive right now, then we've got to distinguish ourselves from others who were with us right now. We've got to be the one, Paul said, that will win the race. A lot of people running the race, only one wins. You run like that one that's going to win and do it right now in the present season. Oh, there's a greater race in the next season perhaps, but right now be productive where you are. Distinguish yourself above the others, and you don't have to be evil to do it. The Bible says an excellent spirit was in Daniel and caused him to distinguish himself. And then it's important, if we're going to be productive where we are right now, instead of just waiting until a new season falls in our lap to be productive, we've got to understand this. In Deuteronomy 23, the Bible says, God will bless you in all you set your hand to do. God will bless you in all you set your hand to do. The reason God is limited in pouring out his blessing upon some people in this present season is because some people have not set their hand to anything. You've met those kind of people, not engaged in anything. They're inactive, not passionate about anything. They are just waiting for a new season, and then they'll gear up and put their hand to the plow. But God said, I will bless everything you set your hand to do. So be sure that in this present season, while you're waiting on your next promotion, to be productive where you are right now. Set your hand to something. And I found that if you'll just set your hand to something, just get involved, make a commitment, become active and engaged in something that's purposeful, something that can make a difference for somebody else. Set your hand to that. It won't be long before your heart will join your hand. And your heart will be in it. It will pay off immediate benefits. You'll see the difference you're making in somebody else's life. And so it'll just get stronger and stronger and better, and you'll become more and more productive even at that level until suddenly divine acceleration will kick in and all the time you thought was lost, God will make it up for you and promote you to the next level, a higher level of glory. And then I think my final point is going to be this. Humility is the secret to continual usefulness. Humility. Now, we should know that too. But one thing that's disgusting to God and to all of us is to be around an arrogant, obnoxious, snobby spirit. I have hated myself when I have been that way. I try not to be that way, but you know, I'm just here. somebody asked a man one time, or told a man, hadn't seen him in a long time, that, oh my, all these years have passed since I saw you, and you've not changed one bit. And the man said, why should I? I mean, really. But humility is the secret to continual usefulness by God. God uses a lot of people for a short period of time. Some people's season of usefulness is very short because of this one principle here being violated. As soon as God begins to do something good and fresh and obvious in us, it's easy to get puffed up and think we're all that. I heard a story, and I won't call any names because some of you might know this name, but many years ago at an airport, a minister was going through security or whatever and didn't like the way they were treating him, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" And others around heard it, and word got out. What kind of spirit is that? Certainly not a spirit that should be represented by God's people. But humility, listen how important humility is and how dangerous it is to be outside of the boundaries of humility. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you," or promote you, "in due time." One translation says, "promote you at just the right time." But the prerequisite here is we've got to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And then we have his word on it. At the right time, he'll promote us. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, it says, in fact, Jesus said this, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I think there's a better word, actually, for the Greek translation here. Just my thoughts, but I think a more accurate or an easier to understand in terms of the gravity of the situation, it could just as easily be worded like this: whoever exalts himself will be humiliated. It's the same root word as humbled. But humility is something I choose and you choose. Humiliation is something somebody else chooses for us. But if we will humble ourselves, then God will promote us. And then in James 4 and verse 6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists. Now, I grew up in church. I was born on 9:45 on a Sunday morning. It was a 15-minute drive from the hospital to the church. Really, my birth certificate says I was born on a Sunday morning, 9:45. And probably I was in church that day. I could probably count on my hands the number of Sundays I've missed church in my life. Been in church, heard this verse, "God resisteth," the original King James, "resisteth," God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I heard it. Didn't hit me until all of a sudden one day I realized the power of that picture painted with these words here. God resists the proud. I do not want God to give me any resistance. I mean, who would have any hope against that? None of us should want God to resist us or be in opposition to us. "Okay, God, I got a plan. I'm asking you to bless my plan. Now, this is my plan, God. It's the best I can do. I've thought it through, and, you know, I'm going to ask you to bless it." God says, "No, I'm in opposition to that because you're prideful and arrogant." You know, it's important to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that we will not have to deal with opposition from God in our life that will hinder us from being promoted. I'll close with this story. It's the story of two brothers. They both grew up on a farm, simple people, poor people and a day long ago. And one of the two brothers went away to college, earned a law degree, and became a partner in a prominent law firm in the state capital. The other brother stayed on the family farm. One day, the lawyer brother came back home and visited the farmer brother. And the lawyer brother said to his brother, who was still a farmer, "Why don't you go out and make a name for yourself and hold your head up high like me?" And the farmer brother pointed out to a field of wheat. And he said, "Look closely at that field of wheat. Only the empty heads stand up. Those that are well filled always bow low." And so we can learn from that that the branch that bears the most fruit is bent lowest to the ground. Lord, help us to be branches connected to the vine that are fruitful in every season and bending low to the ground. Would you stand with me?